Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call for January 20th, 2025, the day of the turning of worlds in our politics, the day of the inauguration of the 47th President, Donald J. Trump. Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Your love for America was revealed in November when you gave us better than we deserve as a nation. You've given us a reprieve. You've given us an opportunity to show where our hearts are as a nation and as a people to honor you first. We had, I think, 7 or 8 different pastors and preachers and rabbis and clergy of all kind between the inauguration, the benedictions, lunch and the benedictions today. And they were all different flavors, all different breeds. And so I just want to give praise, glory, and honor to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit for giving us the opportunity to set a course to rediscover our roots as a nation, to put behind us all of this wokeism and this transgenderism and all this nonsense, this apologetic for being a great nation, a great people, who was founded, a nation that was founded on Jesus Christ, a nation that was founded on biblical principles. And we had a whole guard in there who was apologetic that we should serve the living God and radiate it through the way we live our lives and the way that we conduct our business as a country. So we're going to continue on now here with a bridge of Corey Asbury's Heaven Come, Restless Love of God, and then we'll continue with our call.
There's no shadow. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Yeah. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Yeah, again. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. He's breaking off self-hatred tonight. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow now. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't. Come on, let it rise. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't. Come on, declare it. No shadow now. There's no shadow.
Oh, the reckless love of God, coming after the one, leaving the 99 and going after the one. You know, as I look at the changing of the guards, I just look at the honor, the taking the higher road that I saw this afternoon. Well, this morning our time, but this afternoon Eastern time. You know, the inauguration was had, the speech was given, and the next thing you see is you see Donald Trump and Melania walking out to the Air Force, what is it, Air Force One, the helicopter, and you see Joe and Jill Biden there, and you see him walking out to it, and you're thinking, huh. Now, I don't know what if any of you watched the inauguration and what sort of channel you watched it on, but I watched it on RSBN. And the beauty of that particular feed is that there's no commentary. So you just get to watch what's there and you get to, you know, have your own commentary on it. So here's my commentary. So I saw them walking out to the helicopter and it was like, huh, this is interesting. Both couples heading out to one helicopter. I thought this is very interesting. And then you see Joe Biden turn and look at President Trump and Melania, and they weren't, it was awfully cold. They weren't paying attention to him. But anyway, they get up to the helicopter and you think, huh, well, what's going to happen here? And so President Trump and Melania very graciously said goodbye to the exiting president. They boarded the helicopter, the doors closed, and Donald and Melania turn around and come back inside. And I'm thinking, oh, he must be doing that because he's going to go and sign, you know, some executive orders. And to my surprise, he actually had another gathering of the faithful, the younger generation, those who weren't the uppity ups that were allowed in the rotunda. And so he had a meeting with them. And of course, if you watched any of this, you saw that. But I'm wanting to speak to the measure of what I see happening. And that is, there is one, a sensitivity to the younger generation. One, there was a, or two, there was a, so it's like, okay, all the graciousness to the old guard. He didn't, you know, didn't rub anything in their noses. He was very gracious. They were very gracious on the on those that exited. And then he put his attention on the younger generation. He put his attention on those were who are his faithful supporters. And I mean, his speech downstairs was nothing, in my opinion, compared to what it was upstairs. The tone fell a notch, if you like. The vice president kind of his first words out of his mouth was hell of a this, hell of a that. But if you kind of look past that, there was a going after the lost. That's what I think with this, you know, going after the one lost sheep. I see what we're seeing in this new step forward is we're done with all of the high and mighty. We're done with all of this, you know, the elite group, which take everything and leave nothing for the common man. And I just see this new administration coming in and listening to the voice of the one that's lost. I can't help but feel that we're going to see a powerful shift in pedophilia and exposing of all that. That's the lost sheep that breaks my heart. I see that and I go, show us, Lord, show us. Let's expose us. Let's draw those sheep in. Let's minister to them, heal their wounds, give them an opportunity to live a sane life, a life that's not so broken and busted. So I have expectation of excitement about that. But I wanted to open up the call before I start going into scriptures and prophecies and other things. I wanted to give each of you a opportunity to share what you saw today before we go into our call and where you saw the hand of God moving or not moving. So, you can unmute yourself and simply state your name and share your thoughts.
Robin Schaefer, Alabama.
Hi, Robin.
Out of all the ones that were doing the prayer, is a little black young man. He was full of energy and spirit. That's all I can say.
It was he sure was. I want to go to his church.
And I've attended some black churches before, and well, number one, they dress up, you know, they're in their Sunday best. But he had me moving and shaking, just like if you had seen me on my exerciser last night during YMCA because I used to teach the U.S. Army Flight Detachment crew at 6 o'clock in the morning to that song. So on my, it's like a rebounder, you know, going way up in the air. And then the second song last night, Gloria, I guess. Can't think of the girl's name. But anyway, yeah, he, that young black man, you know, just, he had the spirit in him. That's all I'll say. It was wonderful to see, well, hey, everything, but he stood out as far as making you happy and want to get up and dance. Wave your hands, whatever.
Thank you, Robin. Very good.
You're welcome.
Matthew, share with me, if you would, what you shared when we pre-call and your experience you had of the tone of the inauguration.
I just got a shalom that's over and peace of God and things coming back in order again. And stuff.
Thank you, Matthew. Is there anyone else?
Joyce Lynn Sharp, North Carolina.
Hi, go ahead, Debbie.
An incredible sigh of relief that everyone is safe. And they did some things unusual for safety issues. It was smart of what they did. My hat is off to them because he's safe. His family's safe. The leaders of our country are safe. Now, there's some still crying on the streets of D.C., but they need to learn how to lose. But the sigh of relief that I feel, I praise God for it because all of America was afraid of what could happen today. I yield.
Thank you, Debbie. Bruce, go ahead.
Yeah, we spent all day watching that. It was a good deal. That black preacher was from Detroit. And when Byron Donalds went to Detroit to stump for Trump, he went to that fellow's church, which was a lively church. Right? And I told Linda here, watching him, he just made his mark. He will be a known character in the future. That was exceptionally good. Anyway, I wanted to share another thing. This is just a quote from Veronica West from one time last week, and she was saying, I heard the Spirit say, this is not a time to hunker down in the bunker, but to rise up like mighty eagles to catch the wind of my breakthrough breath that's now blowing forth upon my remnant that gathers. And you feel that today in all the events. She said, I heard Holy Spirit say as I was about to leave my prayer closet, daughter, tell my remnant to brace for the G-force of my glory. The G-force of God's glory is coming suddenly and will turn the nations upside down and inside out. And I think it happened today. That was exceptionally good. And anyway, we enjoyed watching that. Oh, all sorts of different thoughts. I think the thing that's going to absolutely turn the world upside down that he said was, we're taking the Panama Canal back. Period. End of quote. No discussion, no debate. We are taking it back. And that could absolutely blow up South America. So that's... the guy means business, and I think it came across that way, but my goodness, does he have national support, and very, very well done. I particularly enjoyed the various prayers that were offered. You had a Catholic priest, you had a Jewish rabbi, I don't know what, one guy I think may have been Episcopal, I don't know what he was, but all of them were extremely well done. Only the one, the black fellow, I believe it was, prayed in the name of Jesus, but they were all in line with the Word of God, very, very good, which brought up another thought that I had that I wanted to share that doesn't directly relate to that, but the fact that they're all coming from different positions, all with good hearts, good character, to see the glory of God manifested on earth. And I wanted to bring that up as a word of very, very strong caution to the re-inhabited republics, in that as you have individuals desiring to come into the republic and you go through this vetting process of whatever sort that might amount to, just because they don't have the same point of view, just because they are not Christian or your denomination or flavor of that, does not make them unworthy of being part of the republic. Dutch Sheets had a thing out last week, I guess it was January 2nd, and he was talking about how God uses unbelievers. And, you know, again, like the song you were just playing, Robert, you know, he goes after the one who was lost. Jesus, you know, sat and ate with tax collectors and those that society would reject. They didn't know him yet, but they came to know him, and they came to be in one accord. And this is to be not just a Christian club, this republic. This is to be a movement of God that is going to unite the nation on his path. But it's going to have to include those who do not think along necessarily the same lines as we do, as long as they have good character and a desire to see America come into line. So I put that out. I felt strongly about that, but the events of today were extremely good, encouraging. Everybody was upbeat. It was great to watch that. So I yield.
Thank you, Bruce. Beautiful. Anyone else want to make a comment?
Yes, Robert. This is Governor Carpenter. Good evening, everyone. You know, I felt a tremendous sense of release over these last 24 hours. There's definitely been some ground gained in the heavenlies on our behalf. And it's just the beginning. I was encouraged particularly by a comment that was made by some of the newscasters I was watching that said in the arena, the largest response in the cheering for the executive orders came from the one that mandated common sense and reality, and that is that there's only men and women. And
yeah.
I thought that was interesting. It's good to see America has some hope for change. And we have an opportunity to build on that hope and feed that fire and sow those seeds in good ground. And I believe our time is here. Thank you. I yield.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim. Yeah, that was great. Only two genders. It's like we're done with this woke thing. Very good. Anyone else before we get started?
Brother Robert, this is Katie Dombrowski.
Hi, Katie.
I would just like to share one of the Psalms. We had a prayer thing from 9 o'clock this morning until noon, including communion, and Ken Lacey did the communion for us. And Millie's prayer call, we connected, so there was people from all over the nation praying with us. So that was very good. But one of the Psalms is very indicative of what Governor Carpenter, one of the Psalms that the ladies brought up was Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord Yahweh has done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord Yahweh, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bears precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I remember all the praying, and I do mean praying, and it was done again today as this was going on. I mean deep praying, and it's kind of like a wrestling with the enemy in the spiritual sense. And that deep praying, we sowed in tears and we reaped in joy. I yield.
Thank you, Katie. Yeah, there was a real, particularly this afternoon when they was at the arena, there was a lot of struggling in the spirit, a lot. But praise God, I just saw, a little kid there. He was like dancing with the bands and stuff as they were doing their stuff. And so God has got a new season for us all. And it's exciting times. So how the intersect is between the work of the new administration in the corporate and the work we're doing in the Republic, we just have to trust and walk in faith that the path God set us on, the course he set our hearts to, is his calling for us. And how the pieces come together is his timing. I'd like to go to a few scriptures here to start with, just to give you a sense of a tone that the God's had me in, on, and have a men's fellowship that we get together with no agenda, just want to see what God's heart's saying to and through us. And he says this, if you want to turn with me to Colossians, we'll go to Colossians 2. We're going to start in verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. I'm going to skip verse 8 and go on to 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you, brothers and sisters, are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. I want us to draw our attention to our authority of who we are in Christ. We are in an exciting time in our nation, but our authority is under the headship of Jesus Christ and what he's doing in and through us as we are part of the change, part of the hope, part of the finding the lost and bringing them into God's fold, into his kingdom. In what does it say? Give of yourself, love others, and if necessary, use words. I think there's a lot of ministry we're all called to and can be called to come alongside those who don't have a voice and are lost, don't know Jesus. It's an important part of who I am, who he has, what he's brought me out of. And it should be a constant, we should have eyes and ears alert for how God can use us each moment, each day, to be a word of encouragement, salt and light where we are. Turn with me to John 15, if you will. We're going to pick it up at John 15, 3. So we have our place in Jesus, in Christ. And he says this, he says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. We each have the gift of having the written word, both Old and New Testament. So you are clean because of the word which I have already spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So we have him. He says to abide in him. We often get ahead of him and want to do the doing before he gives us our marching orders. I love how the Message Bible takes the lesson of how we learn how to abide in him. If you turn over to Matthew 11, the Message Bible puts things in just a really fresh way. I really enjoy some of the languaging in the Message. And this lesson is the unforced rhythms of grace. And somebody has got their mic on. Let's see, it's you, Debbie. I'm going to mute you. The unforced rhythms of grace. And he poses this in verse 28. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I just love that. I just love that. You know, I was reflecting with a friend here earlier today on where I find God moves the most powerfully in my life is when I'm not striving in my flesh. When I'm praising and worship, singing songs as I'm working, allowing my heart to be free, to float free, if I can say it that way, not burdened by the cares of this life. And, you know, particularly in the West, we're very mental. We very much want to control the outcomes, project the outcomes, guess the outcomes, predict the outcomes. And in this way, we kind of get ourselves caught up in a doing, in a thinking, instead of allowing God's Spirit to blow through us. So I really love the lesson out of Matthew, where he teaches us to come hang out with me, learn to walk in that rest that I've talked to you about. And you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I was struck by a friend of mine's interpretation on Hebrews 3 and 4. And if you know what it's talking about, Hebrews 3 and 4 reflects back on when God was angry with the Israelites for the 40 years there in the desert because they were disobedient and they were willful and they were not submitting to his desire to give them the promised land. They just kicked and screamed all the way. And so, you know, it says in Hebrews 3 and 4 that he was determined to not allow them to enter into his rest. And the way my friend looked at it, he says, you know, if you look at it a different way, God was desiring, just longing that his people would come to him so he could reveal to him his rest, so that he could reveal to them the intimacy of a relationship that he desires with each of us. And so as you look at Hebrews 3 and 4 and you look at it with that sense of not of an angry father, because we know that, you know, Jesus came and completed the finished work. So there's not an angry God, you know, not his heart. His heart is to give you the keys to the kingdom. You simply have to be willing to ask for him and receive it. I'm going to read a little bit of Hebrews 3 and 4. And so, dear brothers and sisters, you are now made holy, and each of you is invited to the feast of your heavenly calling. So fasten your thoughts fully on Jesus, whom we embrace as our apostle and king priest. For he was faithful to the Father who appointed him, in the same way that Moses was a model of faithfulness in what was entrusted him. But Jesus is worthy to receive a much greater glory than Moses, for the one who builds a house deserves to be honored more than the house he builds. Every house is built by someone, but God is the designer and the builder of all things. Indeed, Moses served God faithfully in all he gave to him. His work prophetically illustrates things that would later be spoken and fulfilled. But Christ is more than a servant. He was faithful as a son in charge of God's house. And now we are part of his house if we continue courageously to hold firmly to our bold confidence and our victorious hope. This is why the Holy Spirit says, "If only you would listen to his voice this day. Don't make him angry by hardening your hearts like your ancestors did during the days of their rebellion, when they were tested in the wilderness. There, their fathers tested me and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles. For 40 years, they still doubted me. This ignited my anger with that generation, and I said to them, 'They wander in their hearts just like they do with their feet, and they refuse to learn my ways.' My heart grieved over them, so I decreed they will not enter my rest." So search your heart every day, my brothers and sisters, and make sure that none of you has evil or unbelief hiding in you, for it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. This is the time to encourage each other and never be stubborn or hardened by sinful deceitfulness. For we are mingled with the Messiah if we will continue unshaken in this confident assurance from the beginning unto the end. So I'll leave it there. More about that I wanted to share, but I think that's the point. The point is we have to watch in our sphere of influence that we don't harden our hearts, that we're open to what God's calling us to be salt and light to others, and to be bold in that. That relief that we've shared here and seeing the new administration, seeing where that's going, that gives us an opportunity to step out with confidence in what God's placed inside of us and to move forward with an assurity that he truly will fulfill the work that he started in us. And I think we got a great work ahead of us. I really, really do. Oh, more pieces I want to talk about. Let's see. Oh. So we had a couple of comments about this black preacher pastor who prayed at the inauguration. And, you know, I saw him closing his eyes and reaching inside as he was praying. You could see that it was either he's really good with his memory or he has just filled with the Spirit and allows God to speak through him as he lifted up his prayer. And that's the theme that we get out of the Hebraic calendar in this month of Tevet, 5785. I don't know how many of you take the time to read the calendar each month. It's got some great inspirations in there. And the word that comes to us for today is from a lady by the name of Wanda Alger. And her title is, "The Spirit is Blowing a Fresh Wind on the Gift of Prophecy." And I want you to just think about that preacher guy today, if you saw it, and see if this doesn't speak to something in your own heart. She says this, "Do not quench the spirit of prophecy. I had a powerful dream about prophecy for those who follow prophetic ministry and prophetic ministers. You will understand why it is probably no coincidence that this dream now comes now. The Lord is inserting a strong admonition into this conversation. We must not allow either the failures of others or the fear of man to quench the spirit of prophecy and rob us of a much-needed and life-changing words of the Lord. In my dream, my husband, a pastor, and I were in a church service. I was watching a visiting minister pray for a man who had come forward. People were prayerfully watching to see how this man would receive ministry. The prayers being offered were heartfelt and sincere, though there were no visible evidence of them impacting the man being ministered to. After the minister had done praying, the man who came forward looked at the minister and cried out, "But what do you see?" It was a desperate plea from his heart for the minister to dig deeper and speak from the depths of the Spirit. With that direct question, the visiting minister immediately began to prophesy over this man what he saw in the Spirit. As he did, the Holy Spirit fell on the man as he started to involuntarily jump up and down. His entire body began to react to the words being spoken over him, and the atmosphere was suddenly charged with the power of God. This man jumped up and down as if he were a pogo stick, visibly moved and stirred by what had been spoken over him. At one point, he even assured everyone watching that it was real. He was being greatly impacted. The gift of prophecy was unlocking something powerful within this man and into the atmosphere. As I saw this unfold, I knew that ministry had now truly started. The service had suddenly shifted as a floodgate had been opened. This ministry was operating in his true gift of prophecy and not merely providing prayer counsel or encouraging words. Upon being given permission to prophesy without apology, it unleashed his anointing and changed the whole service and the one being ministered to. Following this scene, I was then shown a distinction between two groups of people. One group wanted more of God and was willing to press in for it, even take risks for it, and the other group wasn't. It was an invitation of those who could receive a greater measure, and also a demarcation of those who wouldn't. God wants to blow on prophetic ministry. I believe the message of this dream is clear. The Spirit of God wants to blow a fresh wind upon prophetic ministry. Given the recent failures of prominent prophetic ministers and the public renunciation of false prophecies, there is a cloud of suspicion hanging over the body of Christ. The enemy has seized the opportunity in these last few years to raise doubts among many believers about the validity of prophecy and its usefulness in ministry. But the Lord is inviting us to step into a greater measure of this powerful manifestation of his love for the body and not give in to either failure or the fear of men. Speak what is given and release what is heard. No doubt there are ministers who have held back their gift in deference to these doubts. I can personally admit to such. Not wanting to cause more distrust, it has been tempting to limit prophetic perceptions to prayer counseling and encouragement. But the Lord is saying, release your gift. Hungry hearts want to know what is seen by the Spirit and not by the flesh. We are not to be anxious about the outcome if we are truly carrying God's heart. The fruit of this gift will be self-evident. The power and presence of the Spirit of God will be demonstrated, and the changed lives will reveal the testimony of Jesus, which is the Spirit of prophecy. Revelations 19:10. We need to speak what is given and release what is heard. It is not we who are speaking, but the voice of the Lord ministering to his people. There is always a place for thoughtful discernment and consideration for how others will receive the word of the Lord. But true prophecy is not a suggestion. It is a declaration of God's word. It is a clear pronouncement of God's heart and mind. given in love, but without hesitation or fear. And for those who are still troubled by who is true, what is true, and who is true and who is false, do not let your doubts hinder the Spirit of God. Do not allow the enemy to rob you of his words through those he has called, gifted, and anointed to speak them. Trust that he will demonstrate his blessing on the words spoken and rightly distinguish between the imaginations of men and the true revelations of the Spirit. The Spirit of God wants us to invite the word of the Lord. Pursue the word of the Lord. Pull it out of those who are so gifted and let the words of God pour forth upon the body of Christ in fresh measure. The gift of prophecy will open the floodgates of heaven to shift atmospheres and change lives. Let the rivers flow and determine to jump in. As we allow the Spirit of God to carry us where we cannot go on our own, we will see our failures and the fear of men drown in the overflow. The Spirit of God wants us to invite the word of the Lord. Pursue the word of the Lord. Pull it out of those who are so gifted, and let the words of God pour forth upon the body of Christ in fresh measure. The gift of prophecy will open the floodgates of heaven to shift atmospheres and change lives. Let the rivers flow and determine to jump in. As we allow the Spirit of God to carry us where we cannot go on our own, we will see our failures and the fear of men drown in the overflow. That spoke to me. It spoke to me personally. Some of us from Cheller County here in Colorado drove up to Park County yesterday to have a shared Jural Assembly Committee of Safety. Call it what you will. It depends what it's like in your state. And on the way, one of the folks I was traveling said to me, she said, "You know, Robert, you did something on Thursday." So I spoke at a assembly meeting of our Teller County here on the Thursday of last week. And she says, "You have a very, I can't explain what it is because it was her observation of me, but it was something like, you know, you speak in a real, I don't know what sort of way. I speak in a certain way anyway." And, but she said, when you started out, it was as if you let your guard down and you allowed the fire of God to pour through you unfiltered. And you were like a father kindly and lovingly admonishing your kids. You did it, and then you went back to your other self. And what I was, when I left that meeting, I was apologetic that I had spoken so boldly and so firmly in love to the members of our assembly. And until I had that feedback, I realized, you know, Robert, why don't you allow yourself to speak with a full confidence of what the Holy Spirit's put inside of you? Why do you filter it through, you know, the mind and the sense of being rational and reasonable and, you know, kind of leading people intellectually from point A to point B? And I realized, you know what? I need to allow that spirit of prophecy. I need to allow that boldness of who's on the inside of me come out without being concerned that it's not well placed. As if the Spirit rises up inside of each of us, it's like I recognized it gave me permission from her feedback to me. I realized, wow, I can allow myself to allow God to speak more fiery, forcefully, whatever through me, and not be worried that that it's out of sync with what his intention is for his body. And so I encourage that in each of you as well. I heard it come out in Bruce here when he opened up with his opening comments. And it's been my heart on this prayer call to move us in a new direction, or a fuller direction, a more dynamic direction of allowing that Spirit of God to flow through us in a free and unrestricted way. So the calendar teaching today has certainly inspired me to step out with a greater boldness than that in my own world. And I encourage you to allow it also to step out in yours. So those are my opening thoughts. And I wanted to let you know the Hebrews I read was from the Passion Translation. So if you're trying to recognize scripture, then Passion also expresses it in a different way. So I want to open the call. And I know I don't normally do this to you, Mark, but Mark Binder, you're a wise man, you're a man of God, and I know you often do prepared things and you like it prepared, but I want to give you the floor, and I want you to share what God's put on your heart right now.
Sure. I'll do my best here. For a number of years, and in fact, when Speaker Rockwell was Speaker of the House, we've had a gentleman come on the congressional calls for teaching, and his name is Dr. Fred Mosley, and he's written several books. One of them that he's written is The Introduction to the Laws of Life, and also he's written The 50 Laws of Life, which I have both those copies, and they're really great. They give you the spiritual laws, if you will. I'm not talking about the Mosaic laws that are pretty much done away with, but the spiritual laws, the laws that we live in, the law of nature, nature's God, and he puts it in law form, and he explains each one of the 50 laws of life, and it's really food for thought, because, you know, your words are powerful, your words have actions, and your actions have actions, and if you can remain on the positive side of the 50 laws of life, you'll have a much better time. If you dwell on the negative, then it's going to be a longer journey for you. And so I just wanted to put that plug out, and I wanted to let everybody know that we've on the congressional call, we've gone through the Proclamation of Claim and Interest. Now we're on the Declaration of Sovereign Intent, and we're going to overlay those 50 laws of life on the Declaration of Sovereign Intent as we go through and we read it on the call. So that's about what's been put on my heart. And by the way, all these 50 laws of life, they go through the Old Testament, through the New Testament. They're not precepts. They're not concepts. They are God's 50 laws of life. There may be more, but there's at least 50. And so that's something to consider.
Do you have an example of some of them, Mark?
Oh, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Let's see here. I'm going to have to cheat and get my book out here. Well, there's, of course, everybody knows the law of sowing and reaping. But you might not know the law of kinds and multiplication. You might not have considered that. I think we pretty much all know the law of exaltation and abasement. You know, if you exalt yourself, then you're going to get abased. But if you're humble, then you'd be exalted. That's kind of how that law works.
Mark, can you take the kinds and multiplication and just kind of expound a little bit on what that means?
Oh, the law of kinds? Sure. I'm going to cheat again here. I'm sorry. All right. Well, the law of kinds and the law of multiplication. I'm just going to read a little bit out of here. It says, "We have seen that everything produces after its own kind. It is quite noteworthy that in the natural, while we eagerly expect the harvest to come, we understand that the harvest will come later than we planted the seed. If I were to go out and plant a garden, I do not expect a harvest the next day. I know that it is going to take a certain period of time in order for that harvest to come forth. In the spirit realm, the same is true. My harvest is always later. It's always longer, and it's always more than what I sowed initially. So those words, those harsh words, that come from me concerning someone else will someday bring me a harvest consistent with the laws of kinds, bigger, longer lasting, and coming long after my sowing. So, you know, kinds, they're like similar things, I believe. They're like, there are animals. They usually stick to their own kind. Now, groups. You could think of that as groups of animals, plants, people, all kinds of different kinds. Does that answer your question, Robert?
Yes, thank you. That's good. Go ahead. Continue.
Oh, okay. Well, there's also the law of reward, as I think I mentioned. The law of agreement, that's very important in contracts and stuff like that. The law of accountability and responsibility. And then there's the natural law, the law of seasons. That's pretty obvious. The law of notice and warning. You know, if you're giving notice and warning to somebody who's bothering you or something, and then they've been noticed and warned. And the next steps are biblical, what you should do. There's the law of forgiveness, law of vengeance, the law of love. That's a biggie. The law of health. There's the law of prayer, the law of faith, the law of resistance and non-resistance, the law of authority, the law of overstepping, the law of words. Words are very important, how you speak them, whether you speak positively or negatively, of course. The law of mercy, you know, forgive, and you shall be forgiven, basically. The law of suffering, the law of waste and want, you know, like they say, waste not, want not. The law of worship, law of foreseeability, law of escape, and the law of provision. It's also the law of the gift, the law of forfeiture, law of deligibility and non-deligibility. And
what
the law
is
of
that? What is deligibility?
You know, that's the word I came across today and I haven't looked it up yet. Deligibility. That's a good one. My spell checker on my computer did not recognize it. So I can't give you an answer right now. I can give you an answer maybe next time.
Okay.
But there's several more. That's just from me. He's got a introduction to the laws of life. That was given to us in Congress couple years ago anyway. But he also's got... this would be interesting, some spiritual type laws, and that's in his 50 laws of life. So we've got spiritual law and spiritual warfare, spiritual law and grace, spiritual law and angels, and there's spiritual law and principles, spiritual law and prophetic. So there's quite a few. And they're, like I said, they all start in the Old Testament. They make their journey. They go through the New Testament. And they're in more than one place, obviously. Like my Bible teacher years ago said, if it's important in the Bible, it'll be in at least three places. It might not be worded the same. You know, it might be a spiritual example or a physical example, whatever it is, but it's... The precept and the concept are basically the same. So,
well, Mark, one of the ones you spoke about that I find interesting, and that is the law of waste not, want not. Now, mm-hmm. You know, like my mom and dad used to say, finish your dinner. You know, there's people starving in China, so you learn not to waste your food at the dinner table, right?
Yep, and absolutely.
And you look at Jesus, and he fed the 5,000, and then he sent them around with baskets to pick up all the leftovers, so he didn't waste anything, right? They were all gathered up, and there was way more than he started with. And the other side of that is you look at John 10:10, and it says, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So it sounds like he's saying that waste not, want not doesn't contradict his principle of abundance.
Absolutely. You know, if you stay on the positive side, waste, not, want, not. Of course, if you don't waste, you're in the positive side of that. But if you waste a lot, then you're going to find yourself, short of something, for sure.
So it's not to limit your belief in, you know, not enough, but it's be a good steward of what you got.
Absolutely. And in this time and before, I think, in the Republic, you know, we're all volunteers and stuff, I think the most important thing, at least for me, was is just be happy with what you have and use it to the best of your abilities.
Yeah, that's good. It's very good.
Praise the Lord.
So is this book available on Amazon or eBay or something? What's the is that a book that you guys in the house are using as a study guide or
It's available. He's got several works out. He's got a couple teaching courses, if you will, also. You can go to Laws of Life Court TV, and that will show you all his products, all his books. And if you want to go to Amazon or Abe Books or something like that, you can probably get used ones and new ones both. It's up to you, but it's something good to have in your library, especially if you're a studier of the law. This gives you God's law, law of nature, nature's God. So, and how it applies today. He's got lots of examples and stuff, and how the law applies. He's got scripture tied to it, of course. And to me, it's been profound to be able to look at it that way.
Do you then take it and measure it against the founders and how many of those principles are consistent with the way our nation's documents were structured?
Yeah. And in fact, we are going to compare that to the Declaration of Sovereign Intent. We're going to find out how many laws that it's going for. And, of course, a lot of them would be the law of notice and warning for sure, you know, the Declaration of Sovereign Intent or the Proclamation of Claim and Interest, or the Declaration of Independence, or the Constitution, the Northwest Ordinance. That's all encompassing the law of notice and warning. And there's also, the law of overstepping comes into play when you're talking about the corporate United States, because they way overstepped over the people and everything to get to where they got to, and now they're not in a good place right now, so. Well, it comes around and goes around, I guess.
Amen. Amen. So what was your perception of the inauguration, Mark?
Well, actually, I had a busy day today, so I have to catch up on that a bit. But I sure enjoyed your guys' perspective.
Okay. Awesome.
Yep.
Awesome. Very good. Well, thank you. That was an awesome share. Appreciate you very much.
Yes, sir. I give all the glory to God. Thank you.
Do you have a prayer you want to lift up?
Yeah, sure. I can do that. Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Yeshua, we give praise and thanksgiving for the many ways your plan is shaking and waking people up to realize the reality we are facing. Lord, this is your time to take action upon those who say, quote, God is not engaged with his people and does not rule the universe. In fact, he doesn't know what we're doing in secret, end quote. Because nothing can be further from the truth. He does care deeply for all his children. So let us focus on what our Lord is doing while standing with our gospel armor on and watch the magnificence of what is transpiring, waiting with faith on what God has promised to do. Ever vigilant to pray with supplication in spirit and in truth, in this time of spiritual warfare, focusing not on fear, which is false evidence appearing real, of course, but on what our Lord and Savior was able to do, the seemingly impossible through the power and faith of love from God. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 and 13, says all the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. Someday, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge, these gifts will disappear. And in verse 13, there are three things that remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. So by What this was telling us, there is nothing greater than the power of pure love. So thank you, Father, for these gifts. May you are using to bring us closer together, to unite with one accord, and to see this dispensational time through to its conclusion. We pray for wisdom, understanding, focus, protection, faith, hope, and love. Pray for the cleansing blood of Jesus to wash away our sins and transgressions. And we pray Psalms 91 over our military, Psalms 82 over our courts, and Psalms 75 over our nation in Canada. God save the children, God save the Republic, God save America, Canada, and the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. In Yeshua's name we pray. Thank you, Father, and amen.
Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Mark.
Yes, sir.
I think it deserves a bell. Actually, if the power of the winds, we actually have shofars. We have a shofar recordings of blowing from the north wind, the west wind, the south wind, and the east wind. So we're going to blow a shofar from the north wind. Reminding me that our shofar blower is at the Capitol and at the inauguration. I think she told us last week she's going to be in the David prayer tent or something like that. So bless God, it was a really exciting transition of everyone standing out in the cold for the inauguration to see the variety that today afforded and gave folks a much more comfortable environment to celebrate in. So yeah. I think that's going to be a tradition that lives on in future inaugurations. For those of you who are new to the call, we take communion together. So if you would like to gather the elements, bread or cracker, juice or wine, I'm going to ask Katie Dombrowski, she doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to ask you if you're willing to think about it and in a little while guide us in communion. Is that a yes, Katie?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I'll call on you in a little while.
Okay.
So, Brother Bruce, you started out, you had some comments on the inauguration and also some from Veronica West and some promptings to your own heart. Do you have anything you'd like to add to the call as we move forward?
Well, one of the things Gina Golston had put together some prayers and had requested through Dutch Sheets the other day to disseminate that to the body of Christ, to have the body join with her at noon Central Time yesterday in declaring over the nation the various prayers and declarations in line with the Word of God, and I thought that was extremely well done. They were not all of hers directly, but they were some from individuals who had sent thoughts to her about what to include. So it's a compilation of a number of different things, and it was extremely well done. So if you've got about 5 minutes, I can share those.
Oh, please. Go ahead.
She starts out by saying, "Release your shout of triumph unto the Lord," and or your trump, as the case might be, as it relates to today. So shout your trump unto the Lord. Anyway, she starts out, "Father, we turn our hearts and our focus onto you. We come before you with honor, sincere worship, and adoration. We praise you, Lord, for who you are and for all you do and have done. We submit ourselves to you to hear your voice, to know the thoughts of your heart, and to align our thoughts and our words with the desires and intentions of your heart. Jesus, you said in Matthew 18:19 that when two or more unite in prayer, our combined and united agreement carries significant power to receive from you. So we come together now in agreement with you and with each other, united in prayer and declaration for our nation. Your word exhorts us to clap our hands and to shout unto you with the voice of triumph and with songs of joy. We see through this exhortation that the key of triumph is in our mouths. Our key weapon is our unified voices, fervently declaring the triumph of our God. So we lift our voices and we declare that our united shout of triumph is shaking this nation. We declare that as we release our sound, the key is unlocking doors to those secret places where evil has been hiding, and exposure is happening, and justice is returning and being served. We say the shout of our King is among us. Lord, your shout is your battle cry. It is a call to unify the ecclesia with an unshakable confidence and agreement with you. We hear your call, and we respond. We shout unto you, O Lord, with a voice of triumph. We release our shouts of worship unto you, Yahweh, our God, and unto you, Yahshua, our righteous King. By faith we join our hearts and decrees with your heart, and we link ourselves together in faith and agreement with your will all across this nation and this world. And we surround this nation in unified agreement with you. Let the sound of our pure and raw worship rise to you. And in its rising, let it shake the heavens, tearing down strongholds of evil and demolishing evil intentions and dismantling evil agendas. Ezra 3:11 states, they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Father, just as that moment marked a new beginning for the Israelites in the time of Ezra, we declare that this moment marks a new beginning for our nation as we declare our freedom from lies and bondage. We take hold of your covenantal promises, salvation, healing, deliverance, protection, freedom, provision, wisdom, power, and authority over all the works of the devil, deliverance from evil, power to overcome and triumph through Christ Jesus and to proclaim victory in his name. No word or prophetic promise that you have ever spoken concerning Israel, the church, this nation, or even our own lives has been altered. Your covenantal promises stand forever. Your word is infallible truth, and through salvation we, your heirs, receive and operate in the fullness of our inheritance. We rise with a united voice to release our shout of triumph with an expectation that you have gone before us and that you have given us this land. We hold fast to the promise that America shall be saved. This is the time. In the name and in the authority of Yeshua the Messiah, our shout shatters, dismantles, and causes evil agendas to fall and crumble. Our prayers of faith and agreement become the fulcrum that rests on the truth of your word and your will, and our press in prayer and agreement exerts power to set things in motion, to shift what needs to be shifted, and to move what needs to be moved in order to pivot things and bring this nation back into alignment with your timing and your intentions. We shout grace, grace to every wall of demonic opposition that has stood and still attempts to stand in opposition to the will, verdict, and purposes of Yahweh and for this nation. And God's roar through us releases his authority into this land. As our shout reverberates with your sound, those walls will fall and crumble beneath our feet as we march forward with your victory. We, your governing ecclesia, rise with unrelenting boldness, fearless obedience, unmatched authority in the name of Yeshua, Jesus, to advance with your purposes. It is not by our might or strength that these walls will fall and shift and change will come. It is by the power of your Spirit working in us and through us to accomplish your purposes. Father, we step into this allotted moment, and we will run with the evidence of your glory. We decree this is the time of awakening, revival, and reformation. We are crossing over from the place of darkness and confusion into the manifested light of your glory. And with undaunted obedience to your directives, we will have unprecedented breakthrough, and this nation will rise renewed and realigned with your kingdom purposes. We declare that the adverse winds seeking to destroy this nation are now being overtaken by the wind of Holy Spirit as he blows upon us to relife. That's a good word, re-life, L-I-F-E, this nation with a tangible blast of the breath of God to initiate an awakening to an awareness of him that cannot be avoided or denied. We declare that every form of evil that has been influencing our culture, government, and the minds of the people is now being broken by the power and the authority of Yeshua. We shout his name over this nation, over our families, over our government, over our school systems, over our churches, over our lives. Jesus, 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 we shout the holy and all-powerful name of Jesus. At this name, demons flee. No enemy can withstand him. At his name, bondages are broken. At his name, eyes are open to see truth. Ears are open to hear truth. At his name, the spirit of delusion breaks. We shout, see, see, see. The declaration that hearts are returning to you, or rather, we decree that hearts are returning to you. The billion soul harvest will be reaped. America is being saved. We are anchored in Jesus. We are established on the foundation of your word and the precepts of your original foreword. Your intentions for the existence of this nation. We decree that we are one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We decree that America is still the land of the free and the home of the brave. We decree that God has shed his grace on this land, and we are crowned with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. We decree, Jesus, that this land of the United States of America is your land. You are King and Lord of this nation. We decree that the gospel will go forth into all of this land and out from this land to impact the world with the hope and reality of Jesus Christ. We decree that now is the time for revival, awakening, and transformation in this land and in our world. We decree an uncovering and a dismantling in the camp of the enemy. No weapon that has been formed against the plans or the intentions of God for our nation will prosper. Every snare is broken. We declare that the awakened ecclesia is marching to the command of Holy Spirit, and like Joshua of old, we take hold of your covenantal promises, Yahweh, and you will watch over every word and promise to perform them. We declare that the tables are being overturned and underhanded deals, plots, plans, ploys, and schemes of evil intention are being revealed and unraveled, and justice will be served. We declare that our unified shout of triumph is overpowering and silencing the bullying spirit that has operated in an evil effort to intimidate and silence those who stand on and declare your truth. We decree that fear has lost its ability to control the minds of people through their emotions, and the spirit of intimidation is bound and gagged by the proclamations released out of the mouths of God's governing ecclesia. We decree that the Spirit of God is freeing the voices of the bearers of truth. The key of triumph is in our mouths, and we insert the key. We release our shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We decree that infirmity shall not overtake our bodies. The power of God goes forth to undo and reverse every work of darkness. The peace of God permeates our atmosphere. Father, you declared in your word that you take sickness from among us. No weapon formed against us will prosper. We disallow and renounce every curse and attempt from hell to impair us. Those curses and attempts are being dismantled and destroyed by the word of truth, the power of the blood, and the authority of the name of Jesus. By his stripes we are and were healed. We confess you, Jesus, as Lord, and we are saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, and made whole. We take hold of these promises. This is our heritage from the Lord. We release our shout of triumph into America and into the nations. We will not stop. We release our key weapon that turns things and sets things back into God's order and timing. We will not come down off the wall. We stay the course. We set our faces like flint. We will not grow weary in our assignments or in well-doing, and we will see the salvation of the Lord. In the name and in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. It is so. Release your shout of triumph unto the Lord. Glory! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus.
We are your people. We sound the triumph of victory. We stand with you. Hallelujah. Yeshua HaMashiach. In the name of Jesus, we shout Jesus. We shout Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me say, Robert, that can be obtained. You can pull it down off Gina Golston's website. That's her last name, G-H-O-L-S-T-O-N, Gina Golston Ministries. Pull it up on the web.
G-H-O-L-S-T-O-N,
Golston.
Golston, okay.
Gina Golston Ministries.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bruce.
And that was for the January 19th. Anyway, wow. It's on her website. You can pull it down. That's something good to have on hand to declare.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. There's such a spring in the step, you know, such a hope in the air. It's just praise God. Praise God. Thank you, sir. Okay, let's turn to Katie. Katie, you have the floor to lead us in communion.
Well, Robert, we actually read this whole section in 1 Corinthians 11, and I think I'm going to still do it because it comes against the divisions in the church. And it starts in verse 17. Now, in this, that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies or lies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest or made known among you. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone take another supper, one is hungry and another is drunken. So this is for the people that are not behaving obedient to the word of God. What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. That's the Passover night. That's in Exodus 12. And that when he had given thanks, that's to our Heavenly Father, he broke it and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So we take the Lord's body that was broken, and the symbol of that is a matzah. It that has the stripes and the piercings that our Lord Jesus endured for us. In Isaiah it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. So we remember his death and his scourging, that we are healed, body, soul, and spirit, by the stripes, by the spread. In Jesus' name, we take it. And we thank you, Father, for sending your Son to heal us, body, soul, and spirit. We pray for every soul and their families here, a total restoration of health, body, soul, and spirit. In the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. And after, this is 1 Corinthians 11:25. After the same manner also he took the cup, which he has supped. This is the cup in the New Testament of my blood, says the Lord Jesus. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And when you study the Passover, you'll know that the blood, this blood of the new covenant is a bridal covenant between our Lord Jesus and the church. And this cup in the Seder meal that we're going to be studying as Passover is approaching, this is called the cup of accepting. So as we drink this cup, I'd like to think not only of the blood of the Lord Jesus and his atonement for our sins, but the richer meaning that we are accepting, and we are his betrothed. So we are betrothed to him, and that we are accepting the covenant, the new covenant, in Jesus' name. And then in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11:26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show or remember the Lord's death till he comes. And we do not want to eat or drink this cup unworthily, which is what it says in 27, because we would be guilty of the blood of the Lord. And let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We thank you, Father, for this remembrance. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Governor Carpenter, as I ponder the broken body and the pierced body, I am remembering our brother Wade Butler and his recovering from his surgeries. Do you have an update on his status and how he's progressing?
Thank you, Robert. I did have a chance to talk to Wade about 8 or 10 days ago. And I know that you had a busy week planned for this past week, and that the Lord had given him enough ground in his healing to accomplish the task that was set before him. So I haven't talked to him. I know he's been busy, and everything considered, I told him I'd wait for a report from him rather than bothering him. But God has helped him immensely, and he certainly needs our prayers, continued prayers. I appreciate your asking. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Jim. Do you also have anything you'd like to report about the... I was interested to hear President Trump refer to the FEMA and the nation ignoring the folks in North Carolina. Do you have an update at all on our efforts there? And do you think we're going to have some alliance there with the new administration?
Well, I don't know if I shared this publicly, but our pastor that was the one that the Lord directed me to just to start the process has been sick, and so I haven't been able to see him for a number of weeks. He's been down in Texas, and he got back and was strong enough to make a few minutes at the foyer before the service started, and I got to have a 30-second chat with him, and he made a, I said, we've wrote history here, Pastor, and he said, yeah, he said, I have my own version, too, and he laughed, and he said, I hear you upset FEMA, and I stepped back, and I chuckled, and I said, well, then, if I upset FEMA, I guess they needed to be upset, and he chuckled, and later, I had a chance to confirm with another source and ask him what that meant in his world, because they kind of run parallel. And he laughed and he said, yeah, what you guys have done has upset FEMA. They have their own interests and for their own reasons in that area. And what we have done in the Republic through this effort, a small effort just to stand up and believe, has brought us notoriety in their world. And praise the Lord for that. That's a pat on the back for me anyway, and for all of us that are stood together. And so I know that what we brought to the table is known in the Trump administration, and it is this team that's coming forward. And so I think by our stepping out and doing what we've done, we've ensured a place in this conversation, maybe beyond belief, if I can paraphrase some things that have been said. But all that is a glimmer of hope for us that suffer from lack of good information. And to plant a ray of hope and joy and to water the seed that we planted, and to God inhabits our praises, and so there's a praise for us to grab onto and to further. We need more donations. In that effort, we've secured 419 truckloads to be delivered to those in need, and then that's not even counting what's going on in California now. We've got the first load left a dock and is on its way as of today. So first load's headed up to North Carolina, and we're in finally in full swing. And it just is very interesting as to how God times all of this. I can find the gears of a watch, if you will, to see it done his way and to open those doors that have been closed to us. So a lot of praise in that arena, and I thank again everyone for their efforts and their donations, their prayers, their support, and it's just begun, folks. So we've got the door open. Let's go with what we got. Thank you, Robert. I'll yield.
Jim, could you please pray into it and pray into any areas that you see there's a need of breakthrough as we move forward?
Sure. Thank you, Robert. Abba, Father, we come to you today. We're so thankful that you're our God, King of kings, Lord of lords, no king but King Jesus. We lift up our knees before you, Father. You've called us to a destiny and to do your will, and we have reason to give you an abundance amount of praise, as we just said, in the reference that we've launched on your behalf, and we still have a few needy things. We need a lab, we need a technician, we need the money to put that forth. We need a secure, reliable transportation to deliver these 419 truckloads and the more that's coming. And, you know, Lord, we thank you for you have it all ironed out. Just give us the ears to hear and the eyes to see, the spirit to follow, and the valor to carry forth as you have called us to do. We thank you that we can serve you in this time and at this capacity, and every one of us in our own individual capacities, make that cord stronger. And it's written where two or three are gathered together, there you are among us. And we praise you, Lord. And so we give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen and hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as we close the call today, we thank you. We thank you for your grace which abounds to us, unto us. We thank you for the hope that we have as we face the future with the a sigh of release, a relief as the forces of tyranny have been shaken off the back of the American people. We pray, Lord, the same force of tyranny is also shaken off the back of the nations of the world, of your body of Christ. Lord, there's still the Great Commission to complete. There's a need for laborers in the field. The fields are white for the harvest. You've called us to go and make disciples of all nations. So, Lord, as we leave this call this evening, we thank you. We ask you to give us a rest, a refreshment, that as we look with new eyes to the tomorrow, as we look to the new eyes to the future, we have a spring in our step and a hope that you are about good in the lives of your people. You're about good. The devil tries to come and steal, kill, and destroy, but you have assured us that you have come to bring life and life more abundantly. We each carry your life, Lord. We ask you to, in the week to come, that you put us in contact with those who are in need of a word of encouragement, a blessing, a prophetic touch, a ministry touch, a laying on of hands. You lay on the hands and they shall be healed. Lord, for those who are in prison, incarcerated for unjustly, for whatever the reasons, we pray into the prison system. We pray into the ministry in each of our local counties, that the compassion of those who are upholding man's law are also upholding God's law and ministering to those who are incarcerated the hope of Jesus, the hope of restoration, of rehabilitation. Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor. We submit ourselves humbly to your working in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirit to do your bidding. Give us the courage to say yes. And we ask you this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen and alleluia. I'm going to stop the recording. I want to thank you all for joining the call.